The word of the Lord, as we read it this evening, is again taken from the book of Ruth. We're going to read Ruth chapter 2. It's on page 283 in the pew or chair seats, Bibles, page 283. Ruth 2, beginning at verse 1, let us listen together to this word that the Lord speaks to us. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. And he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." She said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers." So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain. And she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her, and also pull out some from the bundles for her and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth the Moabite said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. And I call your attention to a few key verses in this chapter. Verse 2, "And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, 'Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him, in whose sight I shall find favor.'" And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." And then in verse 12, "The Lord repay you," says Boaz, "for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." And then verse 20, "And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, 'May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead.' Naomi also said to her, 'The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers.'" May the Lord bless this reading and our hearing of his word this evening. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, in our previous looks at the book of Ruth, I've said to you that it is, as is always the case, a story of redemption. It's a story of God's grace and of his steadfast love toward his people, even toward Ruth the Moabitess and her mother-in-law, Naomi, and the family of Elimelech. It's a story of how God demonstrates, even in the finest and in the smallest, and what might to us seem to be, as we'll see, the most coincidental circumstances of our lives. He is reaping, weaving, you might say, together a rich tapestry of his gracious purpose toward his beloved children. You know, as we saw this morning, that the first chapter, which sets the stage for the story as it unfolds in the remaining chapters, ends on a note of expectation in the context of deep distress. Naomi, having returned from the country of Moab without her husband Elimelech, without her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, and with but one of her two daughter-in-laws, Ruth the Moabite, speaks of how the Lord had, when she left, she went away full, but the Lord whose hand had gone out against her had brought her back empty. And yet the author of the book reminds us at the close of the chapter, there's a glimmer of hope and of God's good grace toward them in the words, "And they came up," or came to Bethlehem, "at the beginning of barley harvest." And what we see in chapter 2 is the beginning, the work of God's grace in this family, the family of Naomi and Ruth, who have returned to the Lord and to his people. How the Lord, to use the language of this chapter and throughout the book of Ruth, demonstrates his kindness toward those who are in distress, as they were. And I believe we see in three ways the Lord's kindness as he demonstrates it toward Naomi and as well Ruth in this chapter. First of all, in the provision that he makes for her through the law of gleaning. And secondly, we see the Lord's kindness in the introduction of Ruth, daughter-in-law of Naomi, to a near kinsman of theirs by the name of Boaz, through whom the Lord again demonstrates to Naomi and Ruth his kindness. And then we see at the end that the Lord demonstrates his kindness by introducing her to Boaz, who is a kinsman redeemer, a near relative of Naomi's husband, deceased husband, Elimelech. A note that sets the stage for the rest of the story. First of all, the Lord shows his kindness toward Naomi and Ruth through the law of gleaning. You know that in the law of God, under the Old Testament economy, the Lord had stipulated that when there were those among them as widows or as orphans or perhaps even as strangers or aliens or sojourners, they were to permit them, to welcome them, to reap some of the harvest, to provide for them in their need. They were to leave the sheaves on the perimeter of the harvest field so that when persons in that kind of circumstance, who had no other way of providing for themselves, might not go hungry, but have bread to eat as the Lord provides it. And don't forget that this is a family from Bethlehem, which means the house of bread. And that's exactly what happens here. We don't have to go to anything particularly deep at the outset. What is the pressing need, the existential distress facing Ruth and her mother-in-law Naomi? They have no husband. They have no prospect of provision for them. They're in a circumstance of distress. And this is now within the community of the church, the covenant community. This is not, well, we have food stamps for those who are hungry, the responsibility of the civil magistrate. This is the responsibility of God's people to provide for each other in their times of need, to welcome strangers in their circumstance of distress. And so we're told at verse 1, now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Naomi. Right up front, you're given a clue. Keep your eye fixed and your finger ready to put your finger on the text should the name and the person of Boaz, this relative of Naomi's husband, appear. And then we're told that Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor. Apparently, though Ruth may not have read the provision for the law of gleaning in Leviticus 19, verse 9, if you want to know where it's to be found, or again in Leviticus in chapter 23, verse 22, and yet again in the second giving of the law in Deuteronomy 24, verses 19 through 22. The Lord stipulated, and Naomi may have taught her daughter-in-law or told her of this stipulation in the holy law of God, this gracious provision. Now, we sometimes want to oppose the law to grace, but there's grace even in the law because it exhibits that love God has for us and that love we should have for him and those who bear his image, particularly within the community of faith. And so she goes to the field in order to glean. And Naomi says, good plan, my daughter, go. So she sets out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And now notice this. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz. Put your finger on the text. She happened. Actually, the Hebrew idiom here is stronger than that. The happenstance so happened. Sinclair Ferguson, in his commentary and comments on this chapter, says it's a little bit like, if I may use the analogy of a split screen. The Lord is not found speaking in the book of Ruth, but he's acting, but not in a way that is immediately evident. You might say the invisible fatherly hand of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is behind the scenes orchestrating these circumstances. Now, I know it's a bit of a silly analogy and it's close to home, but that's often the way it is with God's providence. I think it was the Puritan Flavel who said that reading God's providence is often like reading the Hebrew language. You go backwards. Now, don't tell my colleague at the seminary, Reverend Vanderhart, who teaches Hebrew, that I use that line. He groans when he hears it. But he's absolutely right. I can remember an occasion in my own life when my father decided, my mother and the rest of us siblings thought, foolishly, to go to a place called Pella, Iowa. We were living in the San Francisco Bay Area, in the 60s, no less, where there was a lot of excitement. Pella, Iowa, of all places, in the midwinter, in the bleak midwinter, no less. But you know what? There was a young woman who lived in the congregation in that town and was a member of the congregation my father served, who is now, after some 45 years of marriage, my wife. Little did I know that in this man's life, that seemingly adverse circumstance would be one that would demonstrate God's kindness and goodness to me. There are no accidents, no mistakes, no coincidences in the lives of God's people. And the Lord is working here, directing in their need as a widow and a widowed daughter-in-law to just the right place at just the right time. And by the way, there is something we can, no pun intended, glean from this text. The Lord of the Old Testament covenant is the same Lord of the New Covenant in Christ. And He wants His people to be the kind of people who, when there are among them strangers, widows who are in need, that they be shown kindness. Unfortunate that in the English language the word charity has come to have a sort of negative connotation. But the family of God, the household of faith, and don't forget, Ruth has thrown in her lot with Naomi and her people. Your people will be my people. What will she find among that people? Will she find a welcome? A Moabitess, as she says later to Boaz, a foreigner. And they don't get more foreign and alien and unlikely a candidate of hospitality among the people of the Lord than Moabites. And so the first thing that stands out in this passage is that even through the simple, ordinary practice on the part of the children of Israel, the Lord shows kindness. Don't forget, the prayer of Naomi in chapter 1 for her daughters-in-law was what? May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you might find rest, each of you, Orpah and Ruth, in the house of her husband. Now, we know, of course, from the first chapter that that prayer was a mixed prayer. It was in the context even of the foolishness of trying to persuade them to return to their own people. And yet God, by His grace, moved Ruth to throw in herself by faith with her mother-in-law, with her people, and with her God. And you see here already the beginnings of the Lord's answer to a mother in Israel, a widow, who pleads for her daughters that the Lord would show them a kindness and that He would grant them rest. And again, I ask you, is our congregation, is this congregation the kind of congregation? You know, the Apostle James tells us that that religion that God finds pleasing is the religion of those who, in conformity with His kindness toward them, demonstrates kindness toward the least of those who are among us. It is through this gleaning on the part of Ruth that the beginnings of God's kindness are demonstrated. But notice in the second place, it doesn't end there. It gets better. The Lord shows kindness toward Naomi and Ruth as well through a faithful son and citizen among the people of Israel by the name of Boaz. And Boaz is represented to us in chapter 2 quite remarkably. We're told, verse 4, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem at just the right time.
It happened. The happenstance happened. And he said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered, the Lord bless you. Now, that's a great way to greet your workers, your servants, or your household, or your comrades at the beginning of the day as you meet. The Lord bless you. And may he bless you too, returning the blessing. And they answered, the Lord bless you. Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? Remember, in the earlier previous chapter, all of the women were stirred in Bethlehem and talking. No surprise there. Talking about this remarkable circumstance that Naomi, widowed wife of Elimelech, had returned home after many years far away in the country of Moab. And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, she is the young Moabite woman, you could insert, of whom you've heard already, no doubt, by way of report of the women throughout the village. She has come back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers. So she came and has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest. It gets more remarkable. Remember, Boaz is a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech. You would think a person of such stature that he wouldn't take note of, have regard for or interest, go out of his way, be inconvenienced by a Moabite daughter-in-law of Ruth, of Naomi. He says to Ruth, he turns to her, he says, now listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping, go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? There's the implication that things could have gone badly. Don't forget, this is in a day when everyone in Israel, by way of exception, was doing what was right in his own eyes. Now we are met with a stalwart son of the covenant, who is not doing what is right in his own eyes, but acting in a way that embodies the loving kindness that has been shown him by the Lord of the covenant, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so she, when she hears this from Boaz, she falls on her face, bows to the ground and says to him, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner? But Boaz answered her, all that you have done, that too has been reported to me, that you left, he goes on, your own country and your gods and your people, and you have taken up residence. You have returned, come back, and declared that this people will be your people, their God will be your God. All that you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told me, how you left your father and mother, your native land, came to a people you did not know before. How you had left father and mother in order to follow after the Lord of the covenant. May the Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. And then she says, I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants. And then amazingly, he actually invites her at lunchtime to his table, gives her a prominent place, insists that she be fed enough so as to be satisfied. And she even has some left over that she puts in a little bag. We would call it a doggy bag, a remainder of a meal that was so abundant and full that she couldn't consume it all in one sitting. And she goes out again into the field, and Boaz tells his servants, throw a few of the sheaves as you harvest out into the field so that there will be an abundant harvest. And so she gleans in the field until evening and beats out what she's gleaned. And it was about an ephah of barley. I'm told that that's a pretty heavy sack of grain. About 30 pounds thereabouts that she had to carry on her significant journey home at the end of the day. Now, what are we seeing in all of this? We're seeing not only the way the Lord cares for Naomi and Ruth the Moabitess, a Gentile from the other side of the tracks, in his kindness through the covenant communities, warm welcome, hospitality, and kindness demonstrated to her. But also through this, as I've termed him, noteworthy, worthy man of the clan of Elimelech by the name of Boaz. He has nothing to gain. Probably all he has to gain is a few whispered, snide comments behind his back. What's he doing? Why is he paying attention to, of all people, a woman of such little reputation? Remind you of anyone? You see, that's the last thing that we discover in this passage. There's a bit of a hint that Naomi is waiting at the door at the end of the day to see how it went. And if you know anything about the circumstances and time in which these events are occurring and the kind of people the children of Israel often were, she might very well have been fretting through the day as to how it might go. A Moabite daughter-in-law among men in the field in the heat of day. You'll find in the next chapter that the hint of things possibly going very badly is as well very strong. And so she comes back, and Naomi's report, she brings what she's, her little doggy bag and the big sack of grain, and her mother-in-law says to her, where did you glean today? She doesn't know. Where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the man's name with whom I worked today was, guess what? Boaz, whom we've been told is a relative of Naomi, of her husband, and a worthy man of her clan, the clan of Elimelech. And Naomi said to her daughter, may he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. Now, there are a couple of things to notice here. Who is the antecedent of whose kindness? There's an ambiguity. Was it the Lord or was it Boaz? I believe the ambiguity is deliberate. How do you experience the Lord's kindness in the community of his people except through his people showing, exhibiting, mimicking the Lord's kindness? And so may he be blessed by the Lord, Boaz, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. Naomi also said to her, the man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers. And Ruth the Moabite said, besides, he said to me, you shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all the harvest. And Naomi says to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with these young women, lest in another field you be assaulted. So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests. And she lived with her mother-in-law. Now, let me wrap this up and tie it together, congregation, in a way that points forward. We are being introduced in this chapter to the way the Lord in his, the term translated here, kindness, at several points goes back to the word used by Naomi herself in the first chapter, may the Lord grant you rest. May the Lord deal kindly with you. It could be rendered, and is rendered in the old authorized version, the King James, loving kindness. Or alternatively, steadfast, unfailing love. What happens in chapter 2 is that Naomi and her daughter-in-law, Ruth, the Moabite woman, as widows in Israel, begin to experience through the community of God's people and through Boaz, who is a kinsman redeemer. And I'll not say more about that now until the next time we're in the book of Ruth, Lord willing. But if you want to do a little background search, read Deuteronomy 25, verses 5 to 10. The Lord wants among His people a spirit of steadfast love and kindness, born out of the awareness that our Redeemer has gone out of His way at great expense to Himself, at not a little inconvenience, has paid a very high price to purchase your and my redemption. And we will see that the Lord is introducing Ruth here to Boaz, a great, great grandfather of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, who lives close enough to the Lord of the covenant to know that when opportunity presents itself for him to show a like kindness that God has shown him to others, he must do it. But you know, of course, in the New Testament, there is a kinsman. Notice the language is that of a near relative. A near relative of yours and mine, by the name of Jesus Christ, who is not only God of God, light of light, very God of very God, but in the beautiful words of the author of Hebrews, one who is not ashamed, having assumed our flesh and blood, having been born of a woman, to call you and me his brothers and his sisters. No more likely candidates for his steadfast love and kindness than Ruth the Gentile Moabitess. In no respect whatever worthy or deserving of his, as Paul puts it in Ephesians chapter 2, superabounding kindness. Rich mercy, great love. At the cost of his own life, purchasing your and my redemption. So what? So that we could have a name among God's people. So that our portion could be in Christ and in what is ours in Christ. So that we could sing that we have a goodly inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we could be members together of one holy family of brothers and sisters knit together by God's superabounding kindness toward us, and a people who exhibit, not perfectly, sadly often only in a very limited way, a similar kindness toward those who are in need of the same grace, the same Redeemer, the same steadfast love that God has showered upon us. Ruth chapter 2 is all about the loving kindness that the Lord demonstrates not only to our sister Ruth and her mother Naomi, but toward you and me as well, in our kinsman redeemer,
the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, may we recognize in this very simple story that you are indeed a God and Father to widows, to the fatherless, to those who are far away from the reach of your grace. And you are one who provides for them in their need through your people, through their kindness and their steadfast love. And you raise up among your people kinsmen redeemers, the greatest of whom, our Lord Jesus Christ, who was not ashamed to become our brother, and who purchased our redemption at the price of his own blood, so that we might be members together of his household, brothers and sisters in the church, the family of God, the congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Cause us to be also those who embody, even as Boaz did, and as your people Israel toward these widows did, in these circumstances, a similar kindness that demonstrates the power of your great love for us in Christ, in the lives we live, in relation to our near neighbors. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.